morning. Holy Thursday morning. How are you? It is March 20th, the first day of spring 08. My name is Teresa Tomeo, the name of the program, Catholic Connection. So good to be with you as we enter into this Triduum, this holy, holiest of weeks that we have on the liturgical calendar for believers in the Catholic Church and for most Christians worldwide. And it's going to be a great day. We have so many wonderful things to share with you this morning. Coming up at Teresa's Two Cents, I'm reading this brand new book that I just received from a friend of mine who actually wrote the foreword for the book, Brian O'Neill. He works with my publisher, Ascension Press. And the book is called The Sign of the Times, Understanding the Church Since Vatican II. And it's written by Father Richard Gilsdorf. And he passed away a few years ago, but it's a fascinating book about the truth of the faith and how Vatican II, the problems since Vatican II. But in the beginning of the book, what really is intriguing me, and I just started it last night, and I wanted to share some very powerful words of this wonderful priest with you. At the beginning of the book, he talks about, really, which I think is this whole problem and what we see in so much still, unfortunately, in the church today, not just in the Catholic Church, but in Christianity in general and in the world. A true understanding of what it means to be a disciple, or a lack of a true understanding. We are supposed to be totally submissive to God. And this message has just been coming to me over and over again in my week in Rome and listening to all those incredible talks of the cardinals and these speakers that addressed us at the Rome Women's Congress that I attended. All these different examples of all the different problems that we have in the world are the result of one thing. The fact that we aren't able to give ourselves totally to God, and we hold back, and we think, well, yeah, I'll give you everything but that, or yeah, I want a relationship with you, except in this area. I need to hold on to this. What a great weekend to really pray about that and think about that. What are we holding back from God? The Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, is coming to the United States in just a few weeks, and Catholic News Service is keeping an update, on the trip, on the arrangements, and on the things the Holy Father will be talking about. And a big message of his will be not afraid. Very similar, of course, to John Paul II. Don't be afraid to give yourself totally to Christ. That's what I want to talk about, and I want to share some of the thoughts that this priest has in this book, The Sign of the Times, Understanding the Church Since Vatican II. It's a brand new book, just came out, and I'm also going to interview the editor of the book, Patrick Bino, and also Brian O'Neill, who wrote the foreword, my friend who works with me at Ascension Press. So it's a great book, and I think it has some great meaning, some great things for us to ponder and to meditate upon as we enter into this weekend of Holy Week, this Triduum, as we say in the Catholic Church, beginning tonight with Holy Thursday. So that's Teresa's Two Cents. Don't be afraid. Be not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. I'll share a beautiful song with you from Twyla Paris. I'll share some thoughts of mine on this whole issue of being afraid and how I held back for years before I totally let go and said, okay, I could walk away from the news business. Just walk away. Just leave it. If that's what you want me to do. It wasn't easy. It took me a long time. It wasn't like, here I am, Lord. No. Come on. Who are you kidding? Who am I kidding? I'm 100% Italian. Half Calabrese. We're known for our thick heads. Anyway, so that will be Teresa's Two Cents on a Holy Thursday morning. Coming up at 8:30, another beautiful opportunity to learn more about the Shroud of Turin. This one is going on in Hamburg. We mentioned the event going on at Our Lady of Good Counsel. Father John Ricardo was on with us the other day. That's going on all the way through Easter Sunday. Father John Rokas is going to be joining us from Holy Spirit in Hamburg. He's going to tell us all about that. And then Catherine Lonnie at 8:45, my dear, dear friend and sister in the Lord from the Divine Mercy Center, just giving us an update on the Divine Mercy Conference, which starts on Monday and runs all the way through Divine Mercy Sunday. Lots of great speakers will be there. It's a great chance to come and fellowship with other believers, learn more about the Divine Mercy, and just be in the presence of God at this incredible place of prayer right in our own backyard in East Point. So Catherine Lonnie joining us at 8:45. In the National Hour, it's a Thursday, so we check in with our resident moral theologian, the brilliant mind of Dr. Pia De Seleni. Being that it's Holy Thursday, the washing of the feet, the Last Supper, Pia wants to talk again about what the Church says about why women cannot be priests, because this always comes up in the liberal Catholic world on Holy Thursday. So we're going to talk about that. And then we wrap up the program with an interview with Mark Brumley from Ignatius Press and a brand new DVD that's out. That's really cool. I don't know if you can get it in time for Easter unless they have it in the stores already and you can run and buy it. But it's all about, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And some of the top experts in the Catholic and Protestant world, archaeologists, biblical scholars. It's a really good DVD. I watched it last night. It's only about an hour long, but it's really well done. So that's coming up And that is coming up at 9:30 with Mark Brunley. And remember, we have the lines open if you have any questions for any of our guests. The phone number is 877-573-7825. As far as our forecast for the weekend, well, it's not exactly going to be balmy on the first day of spring. No, sir. We're going to have it, breezy, chilly with clouds and sun, a high of 42. Cloudy tonight, overnight lows of 24. For Good Friday, cloudy and cold, a high of 35. Holy Saturday, a high of 40, partly sunny and cold. And then Sunday, partly sunny and cold, a high of 37 on Easter. Warming up a little bit on Easter Monday, a high of 42. Right now, clear skies and 30 degrees in the Motor City and across our listening audience, whether you're listening on WDEO, AM 990, or WMAX AM 1440. Right now at 8:06, let's check your news on a Thursday morning. Our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, interrupting his series of Wednesday talks on the Church Fathers during his public audience yesterday, speaking instead about the importance of Holy Week and the ceremonies of the Easter Triduum. According to Catholic World News, this time period, he says, is the heart of a liturgical year, explaining each of the major ceremonies, the Chrism Mass, the Mass of the Last Supper, the commemoration of the Passion, and the magnificent vigil ceremony, bringing the Church anew to the celebration of Easter. The Holy Father urging all Catholics to join in these ceremonies to, quote, deepen our conversion during these last days of Holy Week. He made a special appeal for the faithful to use the sacrament of reconciliation as a part of that conversion and preparation for Easter Sunday. Interesting study, a new study finding that most people say their important relationship, and their most important relationship, by the way, is not with God. This is according to the Christian research group Barna, releasing a new study showing that family surpassed the relationship with God as the key personal relationship for most people. Researchers also noted that when asked to identify, though, the most important networks in their lives, colleagues from their church were mentioned by 3 out of every 10 adults questioned. George Barna commented on the study, saying that people were more than 50% more likely to say that their church's congregation is their most significant group than to say that God represents their most important personal connection. It certainly reflects the interpersonal comfort that millions of people have developed at their church, but he says it also indicates that many of us have forgotten the ultimate reason for belonging to a Christian church in the first place. Well, the fate of a bill that would significantly expand unlimited abortions in New York is still in question, with the new governor, David Patterson, taking the place of Elliot Spitzer. Patterson is a longtime abortion advocate, but he has not said yet whether he'll continue Spitzer's aggressive efforts to get it approved. According to LifeNews.com, pro-life organizations have strongly opposed the Reproductive Health and Privacy Protection Act because it would enshrine abortion in state law and, they say, overturn virtually every pro-life limit. The measure would also force Catholic and other pro-life hospitals to change their policies and do abortions upon request. Last week, Patterson indicating he supports the measure and told a pro-abortion group's annual conference he fully embraced its fight to keep abortions legal. One pro-life group in New York is saying it hopes Patterson will see the tremendous opposition to the bill and back way off. Well, in other news this morning, more than a dozen Midwesterners have now been killed as streets have been turned to rivers in saturated parts of that region. Rainstorms drenching the Midwest are showing no signs of letting up. And senior meteorologist Ryan Towle with the Metro News Service expects a downpour to continue into tonight.
The storm responsible for the heavy rainfall will pick up speed through tonight and still bring the chance for heavy rain from Tennessee north to southeastern New York State, where 1 to as much as 4 inches may come down overnight.
Numerous showers and storms moving over the same areas are producing some really, really prolific rainfall amounts from northeastern Texas to southern Missouri and Illinois. The rain sending streams and rivers out of their banks, prompting flash flood watches and warnings as well. Severe weather is also affecting the southwest and mid-Atlantic. Meteorologists say the risk for gusty winds, hail, and possibly isolated tornadoes are a possibility from the Washington, D.C. metro area all the way south to Tallahassee, Florida. Meanwhile, in the state of Missouri, officials there are confirming 3 deaths in flood-related incidents yesterday. Jefferson County Sheriff's Captain Ralph Brown says the continued rain has brought a lot of problems.
Anytime you get several days of rain where you're getting 2 to 3 inches and, you know, in a 10, 12-hour period, you can expect the lower-lying areas to be impacted.
Missouri Department of Transportation worker was killed while setting up barriers on a highway, and 2 others died when they were swept into floodwaters. Brown says he thought he could get away from weather problems after he was in downtown Atlanta during last week's tornado. An administrator with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, meanwhile, is urging folks to get flood insurance ahead of forecasted spring flooding. FEMA Assistant Administrator for Mitigation David Merstad says too many people face financial risks due to flooding that could be alleviated with simple flood insurance.
On the 15th anniversary of the 93 Midwest floods, we're out trying to encourage people to make sure that they plan and prepare for the upcoming spring flooding season, because the conditions this year are very similar to what they were in 1993.
And he says rivers in eastern Iowa and western Illinois are just some of the bodies of water that could spill over their banks this spring due to the tough winter weather, rain, and snow melt. He says many insurance policies take effect 30 days after they're purchased, which he says means that now is the time to look into that flood insurance. President Bush is defending the Iraq war on the five-year anniversary of the ongoing conflict, which was yesterday. In a speech at the Pentagon, the president said the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq was a remarkable display of military effectiveness. He applauded the U.S. for ending the horrific regime of Saddam Hussein and says the world is better off without that dictator.
The gains we've made are fragile and reversible, but on this anniversary, the American people should know that since the surge began, the level of violence is significantly down. Civilian deaths are down. Sectarian killings are down.
And the president acknowledging the high costs of the war, but insisting the U.S. troop surge that he ordered last year has opened a path to, quote, a major strategic victory over Islamic militants. He again warned against a premature withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq and accused war critics of pushing exaggerated amounts of the war's costs. Bush insisted the costs are high, but very, very necessary. Meanwhile, more than 200 anti-war protesters were arrested on the fifth anniversary yesterday of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. 32 arrests were made in Washington, D.C., when protesters attempted to block the entrance to the Internal Revenue Service. They said they were planning to shut down the IRS to highlight just how much money went to funding the war. As each of the three presidential candidates tackle different issues in another week of campaigning, the latest Reuters Zogby poll giving Republican John McCain a lead over each of his Democratic rivals. Kate Moody reports from Washington that the poll also shows Barack Obama's national popularity has taken some big hits, and he is almost tied right now with Hillary Clinton.
A Reuters Zogby poll published this week shows Barack Obama's big national lead over Hillary Clinton all but vanished. He has a lead of only 3 points, 47% to 44% over her. Those numbers are down sharply from the 14-point edge he had in February. When matching candidates across party lines, the new poll gives John McCain a 6% lead over Obama and an 8% lead over Clinton among likely voters. Some pundits say the continued squabbling on the Democratic side makes McCain seem more and more appealing to the electorate. Kate Moody, Washington.
Meanwhile, supporters of Senator Hillary Clinton say they have located donors to foot the $12 million tab for a new Democratic primary in Michigan. Four key party leaders now say they have hopes the state lawmakers approve that proposal. The latest developments come shortly after a quickly arranged Clinton visit to Detroit yesterday to push that idea. Academy Award-winning British actor Paul Scofield has died. He was 86 years old and had been battling leukemia for some time. Now, if you remember, he won the Oscar and a British Academy of Film and TV Arts Award for his 1967 role as Sir Thomas More in A Man for All Seasons. His career was mainly devoted to classical theater, and he was known for his Shakespearean roles. I'll tell you what, if you have not ever rented A Man for All Seasons, it's still available. Order it. A lot of Catholic bookstores have it. Go get it. Watch it. It's an excellent film, of course, about the life of St. Thomas More. And finally this morning in our news, on a Thursday, this Holy Thursday, on the first day of spring, Philadelphia's Commission on Human Relations has ruled the Speak English sign posted at a cheesesteak shop is not discriminatory. The ruling wrapping up a case that began almost 2 years ago, when the sign which says, "This is America," when ordering "Please Speak English," made its first appearance at the popular restaurant Gino's, a steakhouse in Philadelphia. Right now, it is 8:15. It's a Thursday morning, a very special Thursday, of course, Holy Thursday. It's also the first day of spring, although it doesn't feel like it out there in terms of the temperature. We have 30 degrees right now, but it is clear. The sun is shining, thanks be to God, in most areas of our listening audience. As far as the long-term forecast for Easter weekend, breezy and chilly with clouds and sun. That'll be for today, a high of 42, cloudy tonight, overnight lows of 24, cloudy and cold and snow in the afternoon for Good Friday, a high of 35, Holy Saturday, a high of 40, partly sunny and cold. On Easter Sunday, sunshine, saying it's going to be cold, though, a high only in the mid to upper 30s, and on Easter Monday, chilly with partly sunny skies and a high of 42. Right now it is clear, as I mentioned, 30 degrees in most areas of our listening audience. Coming up in Teresa's Two Cents, we are going to look at why we should not be afraid to give it over, give it up, put it at the foot of the cross, give it all over to God, especially as we enter into the Triduum and Easter weekend. I'm going to read some reflections from this new book, The Signs of the Times, Understanding the Church Since Vatican II, written by this very wonderful priest who's no longer with us. He went on to be with the Lord, but he was just a foundation in terms of defending the faith and sticking to the truth. Took a lot of attacks for his really defending the faith and the truth of church teachings during very turbulent times after Vatican II. And the book was sent to me by a friend of mine at Ascension Press, Brian O'Neill, who wrote the foreword for the book, and he said, you've got to read this book, because my big question has always been, what in the world happened? How do we get to this point where we have so many Catholics that were so poorly taught, don't understand, will vote for anybody, especially for pro-aborts, which drives me nuts, and they won't break away from a particular party? I just could not understand it. Well, this book has a lot of answers. But something came to me when I was in Rome. I was sitting there listening to all these incredible professors and researchers and biblical scholars and cardinals. Over and over again, they talked about the problems in our culture, the problems in society, the problems in the church. And really, it boils down to one thing. It's pretty darn simple. Our unwillingness to submit totally to God. Now, when Benedict comes to this country in a couple of weeks, God willing, he is going to talk about that as well, telling us not to be afraid to give everything to Christ. Much of what he will say, we're being told by the Catholic News Service and other Catholic sources, when he comes to the United States, is a similar message he gave when he began his pontificate. So it's going to be brilliant, and we will talk about that in Teresa's Two Cents. Also, at the bottom of the hour, another opportunity to learn more about the Shroud of Turin. There's another local exhibit in addition to the great one that's already in place at Our Lady of Good Counsel. And then at 8:45, Catherine Lanny from the Divine Mercy Center will be joining us to talk about the Divine Mercy Conference, which starts on Monday. You don't want to miss that. 9:15, Dr. Pia Diaz-Seleni and Mark Brumley from Ignatius Press wrapping up a Holy Thursday morning for us on this first day of spring about a brand new DVD featuring Catholic experts as well as Protestant experts on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right now it is 8:18. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like to retire with more than a gold watch and a handshake? Then be sure to pay yourself first, which is easy at Michigan Catholic Credit Union. MCCU offers a variety of individual retirement account CD options, including Roth, traditional, and educational IRA CDs. These accounts will help you reach your future goals by offering higher yields than a regular savings account and allowing you to lock in a rate that won't change in value if the stock market goes up or down. MCCU members are invited to take advantage of our free portfolio analysis with the professionals at CU Financial, MCCU's financial planning partner. So schedule your no-cost, no-obligation appointment today and get started on a brighter financial future. After all, if you don't start saving for retirement, who will do it for you? If you're Catholic, Michigan Catholic Credit Union is where you belong. For complete details on IRA options, stop by the MCCU office nearest you or visit mishcathcu.org.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Difficult economic times.
Families faced with an increasingly secular and perverse culture.
Men enslaved to addictions of alcohol, lust, pleasure.
Men unsure of how to exercise their God-given authority.
Put Out into the Deep 6 will bring together anointed speakers from across the country, each addressing a critical area of contemporary men's needs. Our time together closes with Mass, celebrated by Cardinal Adam Mida, with Bishop Danielle Flores, the homilist.
Make your plans now to attend Put Out into the Deep 6, Saturday, April 12th. Full details and registration are at christschosen.com. Tickets are $40, including lunch. High school and college men are $25. U of D's Callahan Hall, April 12th. Make your plans now. Bring a brother in Christ.
is still hanging on to something and you're saying, okay, God, I give you everything but that. Something to think about and pray about as we enter into this very holiest of times on our church calendar, Easter weekend, the Triduum. This is Holy Thursday. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. My name is Teresa Tomeo. Ave Maria Radio, WDEO AM 990 and WMAX AM 1440, 821. This has been on my heart a lot, this whole thing about submission and constantly resubmitting ourselves to Christ, because it's not a one-time deal. We have to wake up and do that every single day, don't we? And thinking a lot about that after Rome and so much I've been praying about and pondering about since my experience in Rome, it really had a profound effect and impact on me. But over and over again, I seem to be getting this message that it all boils down to one thing: our unwillingness to totally submit to the authority of God in our lives. I mean, I read you that survey that was in the news about Barna saying that when it comes to the most important relationship that people say they have, they look at family and not God. But they also said their relationship with their friends and church is really great, too. But as George Barna said, they're kind of missing the point. The reason you go to church is to have a relationship with God. And yes, it's great when you have wonderful family, and that's important, but God is supposed to come first in all things. I was struck by something also that I read on the Catholic News Service website this morning, which is giving us all the information about the Holy Father's visit in April. And the Vatican ambassador to the United States, Italian Archbishop Pietro Sambi, is saying that he hopes the message U.S. Catholics get from the Holy Father's visit is, quote, "One of the things that the Holy Father pronounced the first day after being elected Pope, don't be afraid. Jesus Christ takes away nothing from you, but he will enrich you." Jesus Christ takes away nothing from you, but he will enrich you. Now, the problem is a lot of people think that in giving themselves totally to God, and I know because I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, that you're going to lose something, that God is going to keep something from you. Isn't that the case, for example, that we see in so much of the world, where people want to make their own decisions, whether it comes to their sexuality, whether it comes to abortion, whether it comes to, you know, money, whatever it is. No, I want to make the rules, and I'll give you so much, but only so much. I went through that for many years, thinking that there's no way I could, you know, walk away from the secular media. Okay, you want me to talk about the media, you want me to make a difference in the media, I get that, I understand it, but let me do it while I'm still in the secular media. Yeah, how is that going to work? Problem was, I was so afraid because I didn't know how to do anything else, and I thought, well, how is this going to work, Lord? But I'll tell you, when I did finally walk away, there was this huge peace, and then things started to change in my life in terms of God really gave me some clear direction. But I can't do that unless he knows that you are totally his, and he's not going to force that on you. God is a gentleman, and you have to open that door, as it says in the scripture verse in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock, and whoever opens it, I will come in and I will dine with him." All kinds of crazy stories out there about our lack of submission and what happens when we don't submit. There is a plan. As Father Pavone says, there is a God, and it's not us. I got this story yesterday. Our wonderful Secretary Cheryl Neal sent it, and also Henry Root sent it along to me. It's just another example of the craziness of how we think we can control things and we want to do what we want to do with whomever, when whomever, regardless of the consequences. There's this new company that has come up with safe sex passports. I'm not kidding you. This is on the news wires this morning. It's from a company called Bioanalytics. And they claim to be offering people who want to do whatever they want sexually outside of marriage the peace of mind they've been looking for. Research shows the biggest fear both men and women have about sex is getting a sexually transmitted disease, and rightfully so, with 80% of the people who have a sexually transmitted disease failing to tell their partner prior to having intimate relations. This company's Safe Sex Passport aims to protect you and your partners. A digital record of your sexual health that provides verification to others of your STD and HIV test results through a secure, private database. Now, this is disgusting, but this is actually, I'm just giving a little disclaimer here, but this is actually what this news story says on one of the wire services that we use here. With your Safe Sex Passport membership, you can confidentially communicate your test results via phone, internet, and soon text messaging prior to a potential quote-unquote hookup. To keep their passport active, members would have to renew their membership and get retested for STDs and HIV every 6 months. You know, some people say, oh, this is a great idea because then people are going to be tested and yada, yada, yada. Well, if they would just follow God's plan in the first place, there wouldn't be so many of these problems. But this goes to the, you know, the ridiculous nature of this idea out there that we can do whatever we want and that we can't give ourselves totally to God because he's going to be keeping something for us, from us. So I was reading this book, The Signs of the Times, brand new book, Understanding the Church in Vatican II, by Father Richard Gilsdorf, edited by Patrick Bino. It was given to me by a friend at Ascension Press who wrote the foreword for it. And I was not familiar with this priest, but Brian was telling me about him and how this priest stood up against so much in the church at the very turbulent times after Vatican II. And I was just so struck by chapter one about our relationship with God, which ties into what I'm talking about this morning, and especially something to pray about and think about in terms of what are you holding back from God in your own life right now. This is from chapter one, that all may be one. We must submit then with love, with humility, with abandonment to the mind and the will of God. Our life must be, above all other concerns, alert, attentive, receptive, and searching in respect to God, who sustains us. If and when he speaks to us, our feeble minds must absorb this wisdom and revelation with hunger and humility. If and when he commands, our weak wills must embrace these tests of our love with ardor and surrender. The sum of the relations between God the Creator and man, his creature, made in his own image and likeness, with intellect and free will, this is religion. The word itself means a bondage. Religion is the bond that binds us back to the very source of being, of knowledge and love. The form religion must take depends entirely on the initiative of the Creator, not upon the discretion and the whims of the creature. Our sole posture in religion must be a continuous receptivity of whatsoever issues from God. We cannot select. We cannot dictate. We must be as parched earth, yearning for the life-giving moisture that comes only from above. We must offer God an unconditional surrender of our entire being. This is worship or adoration. It is not worship merely to sing to God or even to shout to God. And here he's quoting scripture, not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's from the Gospel of St. Matthew. We must also totally surrender our mind and our will in all aspects of our life to the mind and will of God. But he who hears the word of God and fulfills it. The psalm beautifully pictures religion. As the eyes of the servant girl are fastened on her master, so our eyes are turned always on thee, O Lord. Christ is the Word. He is the perfect expression of the Father. The divine Word takes on human flesh and dwells among us. He, God, communicates his deep mysteries through human words with human lips to human minds. In the person Christ, we possess the fullness of truth. I am the truth. When we accept this, then our religion advances to the necessity of embracing Christ, not with emotion alone, not with qualifications, but with exactly the same unconditional surrender we owe to our Creator. I also want to play for you a beautiful soundbite from Father Frank Pavone. This was an interview that we did, his regular Wednesday interview, from November 21st, I believe it was. And it struck me, and I've used this in various presentations that I've given in the last couple of months, where Father is talking about the same thing. We should never be afraid, ever be afraid, to turn our lives completely over to Christ.
You know, as we've always said in the pro-life movement, the other side tries to shut down arguments. They're the only thing ultimately they can say to the church and to the pro-life movement is shut up. Because whether it's in the realm of science, philosophy, sociology, theology, all the arguments are on our side. The other side has run out of arguments, and therefore they do two things. They either tell us directly, shut up, or they tell us indirectly, shut up, by saying, you know, we appeal to God. This is between us and God. We're not interested in your arguments. Now, we appeal to God too, but not as a substitute for the other arguments, but rather as the source and foundation of those other arguments, which means that we are never afraid of science. We are never afraid of the evidence that research is going to bring forward. We're never afraid to study and probe and learn about the universe and the human body and the human experience. We're not afraid of any of that stuff because we know that God is the source of it all.
Right.
And so we don't have to engage in playing games or hiding secrets or anything like that. And that's where, like you're saying, a breakthrough like this always ends up affirming the church and the pro-life cause, because if truth comes out, truth is always on our side because mm-hmm. we're on the side of it. And this is another yet another example of it. We always have to affirm it's always possible to do the right thing. You know, humanity, you know, when John Paul II became so identified with his message, "Be not afraid." People have to understand what he was trying to say there was not simply, you know, don't let fear rule your life. We all have lots of fears every day, and you know, we can say "be not afraid" as kind of a way of saying, "Don't worry, you know, don't worry about, don't have so much anxiety, et cetera, et cetera." But he was saying a very profound message, and of course, Benedict XVI has repeated this faithfully. "Be not afraid" means don't think that by embracing Christ, by following his truth, by living as he taught, don't think that you're going to lose anything. As humanity, as a human family, as a world, as an individual, as a family, don't think that he's going to crush you, oppress you, restrict you, rob you. He's not. He's going to fulfill you. He's going to let you advance. He's going to let you make progress. And that's what we say to the scientific community, to those activists who are saying, let's cure disease and let's make progress. Of course we want to do that. But be not afraid. Don't think that by adhering to the moral law, you're going to lose the research, the medical progress, the dream that you have of conquering these diseases. Christ is not going to take any of that away from you. He's going to lead you to that in a way that fulfills your purpose and your ultimate goal of salvation.
Amen. Father Frank Pavone talking about the fact that none of us should ever be afraid to open ourselves up completely to Christ. What are you afraid of as you enter into this weekend? Bring it to the cross. Offer yourself up totally to God. You will be amazed at the difference it will make in your life and your relationship with God and the rest of those around you. Be not afraid anymore. It's 8:33. Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo encouraging you to join me and Monsignor Michael Bulgarin and Father Charlie Fox on a pilgrimage to Ireland in August of 2008. You'll be inspired by daily mass at holy sites and given a true Irish education during your 10-day tour. And this trip includes airfare from Detroit, 8 nights accommodations in Ireland, and luxury coach for all sightseeing and touring. Travel the Emerald Isle with famed Catholic Irish storyteller Bat Burns as you visit beautiful castles and majestic churches, including, of course, St. Patrick's Cathedral. Spaces are filling up for this event in August of next year. Call Corporate Travel at 313-565-8888 or go to WDEO.net and click on Advertising Links. That's Corporate Travel, 313-565-8888. Hope to see you in Ireland.
Accommodations include 2 nights in Galway, 2 nights in Killarney, 1 night in Clonmel, and 3 nights in Dublin. From real estate to plumbing, from pet care to dentistry, Catholic business professionals are finding increased business when advertising with the Catholic Business Pages. For more information about advertising or to get your free copy, go to CatholicBusinessPages.com or call 734-930-4536. Get better results when you advertise. CatholicBusinessPages.com is brought to you this week by Northwest Construction. Spring is just around the corner, and there's no better time than now to plan your home improvement projects. Call Terry Burke, your home improvement expert. Whether it's roofing, siding, gutters, kitchens, or baths, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Your home is your biggest asset, so let Terry help you increase its value. Call Terry at Northwest Construction at 877-878-7600. That's toll-free, 877-878-7600. CatholicBusinessPages.com, your best choice.
Hi, this is Mike Carr, owner of Office Express. Father Xavier from Middle East Christi pointed out to me how early Christians supported each other. I feel the people who live and work in the Detroit area should do the same. All companies use office supplies, printing, and office furniture. If you can get the same or better pricing on your office needs, why wouldn't you support a company that supports local Catholic causes, such as this radio station? We save businesses money, even when competing with the largest companies in our industry. Let's face it, WDEO doesn't stay on the air by magic. We all enjoy Catholic radio, and they need to pay their bills. Office Express needs your support to stay in business. We will save you money on all your office product needs. Now that's a win-win. Call the company WDEO calls. Office Express at 877-795-2600. That's 877-795-2600. Or go to www.officeexpressnow.com.
Father Larry Richards spoke at the Diocese of Kalamazoo and Lansing Men's Conferences.
So he got down and he laughed and I got up and I said, "Gentlemen, you either pray every day or you're going to hell." And they all sat there. "We like the last guy much nicer, Father." Do you realize what happens? God is the God of love. Love, it can never force himself on somebody. The day you and I drop dead, God looks at you and says, "I will give you what you love the most forever." And if that's anything other than God, that's what you'll get forever.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. On our next program, we'll hear Father Larry Richards via Man Talk and highlights from his Reconciliation Talk, both from the recent conference in Brighton. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Back, Holy Thursday morning, 8:38. My name is Teresa Tomeo. The name of the program, Catholic Connection, were produced by the one, the only, Ave Maria Radio Communications, AveMariaRadio.net. You can check us out online as well. You know, so many great activities going on this weekend in our areas, in addition, of course, to the beautiful the liturgies that go on. First of all, this weekend are just so phenomenal, starting with tonight with Holy Thursday, of course. But in addition to that, we have several different exhibits, a way for you to get closer to the Lord, especially at this most blessed of weekends. We mentioned the other day about the Shroud exhibit. There's one at Our Lady of Good Counsel. Now, there's another one, and we talked about this last year, actually, at Holy Spirit in Hamburg. But this is actually very different from anything you've ever seen before. And we're going to let Father John Rokas tell us about it. Hey, Father, good morning. Happy Holy Thursday to you.
Good morning, Teresa, and happy Holy Thursday to you and your listeners.
We talked about this last year, too.
Yes, correct? We did.
But it's in a different location, I understand?
Right. I was a pastor at St. Agnes Church up in Flint at that time, and one of our parishioners had proposed to put together a Shroud exhibit, went so far as to purchase the two large images, front and back of the Shroud. And so we built an exhibit around that. And so we have borrowed it and have asked if we could purchase it from the people at St. Agnes. And our hope and our plan is to make that permanent exhibit and draw people from every walk of life to come and examine this most interesting artifact.
All right. So this will be at Holy Spirit Church, which is in Hamburg, Michigan. Now, where exactly at the church will this be displayed, Father?
In the hallway and narthex and going into the church. We have different aspects to our exhibit. We have about 20 panels describing the Shroud itself, its history, the controversies around it, a lot of quotes from our Holy Father, former Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, and quotes from the Bible that relate to the actual images on the Shroud. In addition to that, we have a video in the church with excerpts from the movie The Passion of the Christ, and finally we have in the Activity Center a documentary about the Shroud.
Now, this is running through when? Through Sunday?
It will begin on Good Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Hour of Mercy, run till 6, and then on Holy Saturday, 11 in the morning till 6 in the evening.
Why do you think it's so important, Father, to make this available to your parishioners and other people in the area?
Well, it's been an amazing artifact for almost the full length of Christian history. It is believed by the Catholic Church to be the shroud of Jesus. And we see on the shroud the images, the indications of suffering very, very similar to what Jesus endured. And, of course, there is the image of the body itself, which is an indication that this is kind of like a transitional piece from suffering and death to resurrection. History, the scientists have not been able to explain the Shroud of Turin, particularly the image that remains on it.
What kind of an impact have you seen this have? I know that you you mentioned you had this at St. Agnes last year in Flint. What was the response to it, Father, in terms of what the people were saying, how they were moved, especially this very, very important weekend?
Yeah, it didn't even require words. You would look out and watch tears in people's eyes as they looked at these things, the various images, and then, of course, the video that we showed at the end from the movie, very, very dramatic. You know, it was like a fitting caps to the exhibit itself.
Hmm. What do you might like most about having it there at your parish?
Well, we want to reach out to our neighbors. We recognize that in this day and age, and remember just a few weeks ago we had those stunning statistics about how many people have left the church.
The Pew Forum report, right?
Yeah. Yes, and we know that those people surround us. So we are out in the country, but we're surrounded by many, many subdivisions, and we just know that many of these people are no longer practicing their faith. And one of the things that we've chosen to do here at Holy Spirit is to recognize is that we are a territorial parish and that we are involved or we are responsible for the spiritual welfare of everybody within our territory. And so we've advertised this extensively, and we do hope that people will come. It's one of those types of exhibits that people can look at it and say, well, this is kind of neutral. We don't know whether this is Jesus or not, but it sure is intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure is phenomenal. So let's go see it. That's our hope.
All right. It's free, but they're asking for a free will donation, though, of course, a love offering. Let's go over the details again before we let you go, Father, in terms of the time and location of your parish, Holy Spirit, in Hamburg, if people are not familiar with that location.
Okay. We are about 5 miles directly south of Brighton. We are at exit 55 off of 23. You go west, approximately 1 mile on Winans Lake Road to the corner of Musch Road, M-U-S-C-H. We are there at the corner, and we have a very bright church. It should be very easy to see.
All right. And do you have a phone number, Father, if people want more information?
Yes. We are at area code 810-231-9199.
810-231-9199. Well, as we say in Italiano, buona Pasqua, Padre.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Father, and thanks for doing this, and always great to talk with you. Father John Rokas, and he is now with Holy Spirit Church in Hamburg. It's in the Diocese of Lansing. If you'd like more information on this particular Shroud exhibit, you can call, as Father said, 810-231-9199, 810-231-9199. Coming up, more things to fire up your faith. We'll tell you all about the Divine Mercy Conference. Catherine Lanny is back on with us. That's coming up next. Stay tuned at 8:44 on Holy Thursday morning. We'll be right back.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, Chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Today we get a simple picture of a disciple. It's washing one another's feet, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry. This is the core of the Eucharist. This is the bottom line. In the last analysis, the Church is not about ritual investments. It's about love, practical love, washing one another's feet, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry. Practical love is at the center of our religion and the core of the Eucharist, which we celebrate today. At the most solemn moment of his life on earth, at his final Passover meal, Jesus gives his disciples a clear example, which has come down through the centuries to inspire us, his disciples today. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father, he rose from the table, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. When he'd washed their feet and sat down, he said to them, and he's saying it to us too, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Yes, I want you to hear that. You also ought to wash one another's feet. Whose feet does Jesus want you to wash? What does foot washing stand for here? God's table is large. He provides generously for us. We need food and we need love, and he gives us both. And we need to share them both. Share your heart and share your possessions. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach me on 734-930-3257. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
H46, keeping you connected to your Catholic community. That's why we call it Catholic Connection. Teresa Tomio is my name, Ave Maria Radio. Good to be with you on a Thursday morning, the first day of spring, and most importantly, Holy Thursday morning. Great conference coming up this week. I'm going to be there. I hope you can come too. Divine Mercy Conference Week, presented by the Servants of Jesus of the Divine Mercy, and it's at the Divine Mercy Center Chapel in East Point. Starts on Monday, the 24th, and goes all the way through Sunday, March 30th. All kinds of wonderful activities to get you closer to God and to learn more about the Divine Mercy in St. Faustina. On the phone with me is Catherine Lonnie from the center. Hey there.
Hi.
How are you, babes?
Really good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good. And Catherine, by the way, is going to be joining me on our pilgrimage to Israel.
Yeah.
You looking forward to it?
Oh, my goodness, am I ever. Can't wait. Especially after such a great feast. It'll be nice just to go away with the Lord for a little bit.
Yeah. And kind of chill, because I know putting together something like this is a lot of work.
It is.
But you've got a great lineup. Let's talk about why you decided to do an entire week as opposed to, like, say, one day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're crazy, right? That's what you're going to say.
No, actually, because we are so in love with Jesus of Divine
All right,
Mercy.
That's a good answer.
Yes, it has to be. It's the only answer that really fits the spot. We've just, you know, witnessed so many beautiful things happening in here at the center and by way of Divine Mercy that we thought, you know what, we can't just wait until, you know, Good Friday or wake up on Divine Mercy Sunday, and it's got something very special has to lead up to that whole week and give people plenty of opportunity to avail themselves to the sacraments in preparation of that feast day, Divine Mercy Sunday. So we're having Holy Mass and confessions throughout the whole week, and, you know, some in the morning, some in the evening, so that, you know, if you work, you can come at night. If you're home during the day, then, and it's easier for you to come during the day, then everybody will have a chance throughout that whole week to go to confession, to meet the requirement, or afterwards.
So, what are you hoping that people will walk away with at the end of the week?
Just a closer, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And a real personal contact with his mercy and love that he has for each human being, you know. I think that people, we hear about it all the time, God loves us, God loves us, God loves us. But to really experience that kind of love through his mercy is, it's unfathomable. And hopefully by all the anointed preachers that are, you know, priests that will be preaching, and teaching and speakers teaching on Divine Mercy and, you know, their walk in life and how they came to the Lord or how it relates to mercy, Divine Mercy, will touch every single person in one way or another. You know, there's an array of speakers who we believe, after having prayed over who would be speaking and whatnot, and, you know, just really going to the Lord with what God wants, have full confidence that the people that are chosen to teach, preach, speak have been called by the Lord. And, you know, so we're hoping that every person there, every person who attends on some level, that the very finger of God will touch their soul.
Mm.
And that's what we witness. So it's just making it available. That's all we have to do. God takes care of his own work. We just have to open the doors and, you know, welcome everyone, and God takes care of everything else.
Now, almost every day you have 24-hour Eucharistic adoration, too.
Yes. Here at the center, we will be having perpetual adoration. So we still need some people to sign up for some spots. But there's, you know, it just makes my heart so happy to see the joy coming from the people about the, you know, of course, the whole conference and whatever, but the perpetual adoration that is just, I mean, I don't know why I wasn't prepared for that, but just seeing the happiness and joy from people, that, oh, my God, they're at the center. You mean through the night, all day long, every day through that week, preparing for Divine Mercy Sunday? And I said, absolutely. So there's great anticipation, not only for the conference, but for the perpetual adoration. Isn't that just phenomenal?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
very, very important, too, in terms of, you know, getting people centered.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, we, all kinds come through the Divine Mercy Center. People that, you know, are, you know, regular daily communicants, great Catholics, and people that don't have any particular religious preference or anything, don't belong to anything, and they've been led here because of a need for healing. Maybe a friend told them because of sickness or brokenness, whatever the situation is, to go to this place, this center. There's people there that will take care of you. And so they come here, and, you know, of course we minister to them by way of inner healing or prayer, whatever it is. And then, you know, 9.5 times out of 10, they're seeking the Lord, and they end up coming to Christ that way and experiencing Him in a very natural way, which is, I think, which is the turning point for so many, and then coming to the church. So it's, there's a great anticipation here in my heart, especially for what the Lord is going to do in that whole week. We had year before last on Divine Mercy Sunday, one of the people that came and asked for prayer during the feast. We have certain time allocated for, you know, the laying on of hands and prayer for the sick and so on. A man came. He had colon cancer, and it had metastasized up to the hip area and was healed at that mass.
Wow.
You know, so people had laid hands on him, prayed over him, and, you know, he stood up and he said, I feel it. I'm healed. And then, you know, went to the doctor, did the whole nine yards, and everything was totally gone. So it was a great celebration for us. And last year we had, they're just all the time.
Countless stories.
There's so many. I could go on forever.
You got to write a book, maybe.
I'm in the process. I could just sit at the desk long enough.
Yeah, really. I want to read the mission of the Divine Mercy, the service of Jesus of the Divine Mercy, so people understand if they haven't heard about your center yet.
Mm-hmm.
To answer Jesus' ardent desire to satisfy the hunger of his people with food, clothing, companionship, prayer, sacraments, grace, and healing, the servants of Jesus of the Divine Mercy seek to be Jesus to those in need. That's beautiful.
It is.
And you have found yourself, you and I have been chatting the last couple of days, doing that even more directly given the economy.
Yeah.
In Michigan. People literally just walking in saying, I need help.
People that, you know, right here in Macomb County that used to live in the area have lost their homes because their husbands or themselves have lost their jobs, been laid off indefinitely, and they, you know, first they can't afford the insurance for their car, and then the car goes, and then slow but sure the foreclosure on the house, and we found that, you know, they're just coming to the, you know, after family and no job still and, you know, no hope of a job, coming to the neighbors that they used to live next door to or in the neighborhood and hoping just for, you know, a little bit of recompense, something to help them make it through, and end up coming here to the center now that it's, you know, it's getting more and more known. People will direct them here, and it just, it tears at your heart because this could be your own sister or brother or yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know. And how I said, my God, I had a $2,000 mattress, and now I'm living in a $33 motel. And, you know, can I have some socks? I need some stockings. And that particular day we were out of stockings, and one of the servants took her stockings off and gave it to her. And, you know, and there's just such a tremendous need right now. And then, you know, equally, Teresa, it's amazing, but how many people come here because they're so broken spiritually.
Yeah.
They've
yeah.
gone astray. One thing, and there's no particular thing in their life that, like a lot of times, drugs, alcohol, et cetera, but it's something that they've gotten off a track with. And
they know something's missing.
Yeah, something's definitely missing, and they're broken, whatever. And it gets, as time goes on, more and more serious sin. And so at some point they just turn here and say, you know, I don't know what I need, but I know that I need to change. And so that's what we begin with oftentimes. Yeah. And there's, you know, a real spiritual miracle where a person, you know, will come to know the Lord through prayer or whatever experience, and their life is radically changed, and they experience Christ. And that's only God can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all God. We're just the instruments. Let me give out the information again, Kath, to find out more information about the conference, which begins on Monday, March 24th through Sunday, March 30th at the Divine Mercy Conference Week at the Divine Mercy Center in East Point. I'll be there on Monday night giving a talk on praying in a busy world, silencing the noise. The phone number is 586-777-8591. 586-777-8591. The website is sjdivinemercy.org. sjdivinemercy.org. They're asking you to RSVP if you can, because there's going to be lunch available during the day, and they'd like you to RSVP so they understand, you know, how many people are going to be there. 24-hour adoration, daily mass, daily confessions, prayer ministry, all kinds of speakers that will help you bring you close to the Lord. Again, I'll be there Monday night. I hope you can join us. The Divine Mercy Center, the conference week starts on Monday with 24-hour adoration at the Divine Mercy Center Chapel. All of this going on in that beautiful location in East Point. For more information, 586-777-8591. Kath, happy Easter. I'll see you Monday.
Hey, thank you.
Buona Pasqua. Coming up next, Dr. Pia DeSalani and Mark Brumley. Stay tuned.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild calendar invites you to activate your faith. There will be two Shroud of Turin exhibits in the Southeast Michigan area in the upcoming weeks. First, at Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth, there will be a self-guided exhibit beginning Monday and running through the week. For times when the exhibit will be open, call 734-459-9893. Then another exhibit will be on display at Holy Spirit Church in Hamburg, Good Friday and Holy Saturday. For more information on that display, call 810-231-9199. If you're looking to start a new Easter tradition with your family, don't miss the Orchestral Easter Mass Sunday, March 23rd at St. Joseph's Church in downtown Detroit. Call 313-831-6659 for further details. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077.
Could your family use an extra $500 to $5,000 each month? Hi, I'm Eric Kasem, speaking for the 3-Step Home Business Plan. We're looking for a few good people with Christian family values who'd like to earn an extra $500 to $5,000 a month. We'll teach you everything you need to know to earn thousands of dollars each month working from home. Call 800-281-7874 for your free info pack right now. That's toll-free, 800-281-7874.
Sister Sarah, look what I got, a new dog.
Hey, he's really cute.